This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Junks Live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today.
Before we talk to Mike Jones, this is just a quick parenting question. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, my son called me bro twice.
Yeah, I corrected my kids.
I'm sure that's how they all talk to each other. But, yeah. Like, I'm his dad.
Yeah.
Once it was, I can't remember the exact context, but we actually played a video game together. He kicked my butt in, like, an old school NCAA football game.
Sure.
And then he did it again in the car. And I was like, dude. Now I shot back with dude. Mm-hmm. He said, bro. But he's my son. Like, would you let your son call you bro?
I don't know. It's kind of a.
My daughter has done that to me before, and I. Told her I don't like it.
Yeah.
Not a big fan.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it, but I said, hey, just, I'm your dad.
Yeah, there's boundaries.
I'm not your bro.
Right.
I'm your dad. Yeah. There's a level of respect that I expect.
It reminds me of a Howard Artie thing.
Except it's different when it's your child. You know, I just don't want my child calling
me bro. I have no idea
bro.
what that is.
It's funny to about four people.
I get it. Yeah. But, yeah, it's different when it's your child. I demand to be called dad. Or one of my daughters calls me father, but that's fine.
That feels like that's demeaning.
That is, yeah.
No, I think she's doing it because
like, you look like Father Time.
Maybe.
All right, let's head out now to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat those books. Download the BetQL app today or visit betql.com. We say hello to Mike Jones, who covers the NFL for The Athletic.
He's got a rack of kids, by the way.
He does.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Yeah.
What's up, Mike?
Yeah,
anyone call you bro, Mike?
Hey, it's bruh, it's cuh, yeah. It's yo, you know I mean? Like, you know, I don't know the last time that my 18-year-old called me dad. It's, hey, bro, I need you to fix this.
What
are you talking
father?
About,
cuz?
No, my daughter sometimes says father, but last time daddy from her.
Yeah.
But she's, you know. 21, but the other ones it's dad, but my 18-year-old's definitely bro, cuz.
Do you correct him, or you're okay with it?
I used to, and then he knows he's getting a rise out of me, so I just don't even respond.
Yeah, right.
Mike, how old is your oldest child at this point? Mine is 25, and I feel like I'm basically borderline a grandpa.
We should start calling him Gramps.
Yes.
Gramps.
Well, she'll be 21 on New Year's Eve,
okay.
And it's funny, I have friends, and I see them posting about, like, grandkids, and I'm like, what is... And I'm like, wow, wait, that actually could be me.
Yeah, 100%.
It's kind of scary. It's terrifying, you know?
Hey, Mike,
thank God, you know, knock on wood, she's 21, no kids. 18-year-old's got no kids, knock on wood.
It's good.
But
that's
it
solid.
It really could be us. It could be us.
And your daughter's going to taste alcohol for the first time on New Year's Eve. Congrats to her.
Oh, yeah.
That's
exactly.
Awesome. That's good to hear, man.
Big moment. Big moment.
All right, so, Mike, we got to start off with the Commanders. Look, no one can say... I thought they were underachieving at 1-4. I honestly did, but I never thought they would win 6 of 7. This has been a ridiculous run. How are they doing it?
Yes, it has been a ridiculous run. And I have to say, I was talking to Nikki at the post when Wentz got hurt, and they talked about how Heinicke was going to open up the offense. And she and I were like calling BS on that. We're like, well, you wouldn't have like replaced the guy if you thought that this guy was going to open up the offense. Well, sure enough, I do think that they are more balanced, but I do think we see some more creativity. And also, he just got more of a gunslinger approach and gives his guys a chance. Sometimes that does lead to interceptions, but you can tell listening to Terry McLaurin and other wide receivers that they would rather have a guy who gives them a chance instead of a guy who's too conservative. I think really making sure they have a strong run game. And also, their offensive line has gotten better. Their defensive line has gotten better, because we want to talk about underachieving. That defensive line was really playing pretty badly at the start of the season. Remember, they had fired their defensive line coach. Mm-hmm. We had all these high-end draft picks who weren't really performing, and now they really are making a difference. So you win and lose in the trenches. Offensive line's got better continuity. Defensive line is doing stuff. And then, you know, it's all, you know, everybody's feeding off of that. So hats off to them. Did not expect this. I thought that, you know, when they were trying to talk optimistically when Wentz got hurt, I thought they were just trying to fool us again. But, hey, here we are.
If you had to guess what happens to Wentz in his career?
I mean, I think that he'll probably wind up somewhere. He'll have like a Marcus Mariota year where, you know, or a couple years where, you know, Marcus Mariota, he got left the Titans, and he was a backup with the Raiders a couple years, and now he's getting a chance to be a bridge guy. I think Wentz will wind up signing somewhere as a backup where, you know, you can, somebody gets hurt, he goes in there for a week or two and helps them, you know, man the, you know, kind of, you know, man the ship for a little while. Then a starter comes back in, and then somebody will be desperate and he'll get another chance to be a starter. But it's amazing that the guy looked like he was on top of the world in 2017, got hurt, and has never been the same. And I think it's all mental. And I thought maybe he had figured things out sitting down talking to him at training camp. Tell you, he talks a good talk, but just can't, you know, back it up. So I think because of his draft pedigree, because of that year, he'll buy himself a couple more chances, but it won't be as a real starter.
And no chance here in Washington. Eric's lobbying to bring all the guys back.
Well, at a reduced salary.
What's the point?
Well,
you got Sam
million.
Howell. Yeah, but, you know, I think people feel like, look, if we need a backup, you know. I mean, look, they don't have – I don't think they have their long-term quarterback on this roster. But if, you know, if you're going to, you know, draft another guy, I think you have Howell, you have Heinicke, and then you can have that guy that you're developing, you know. But I don't think there's a need to have Wentz here because – you might as well save a lot of money. I don't think Wentz is desperate to be here as a backup that he would take, you know, would work something out.
He'll, well, in my theory, and no, nobody cares. Everyone's sick of hearing me talk about it. But my theory is that you bring him back at a reduced salary. He's only played six games. If they protect him the way they're protecting Heinicke with two tight ends, with handing the ball off 50% of the time, now you have Brian Robinson. He didn't have that. I think that Wentz would manage this just as well as Heinicke, if not better. I actually think better. And I think he would beat him out. I think he would beat him out.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think that in a training camp, in a practice setting, yes, he would beat him out. He looks better. You can watch those throws. I was there in training camp, and you were like, okay, now that's an NFL quarterback. The size, the velocity on his balls and everything. But then when it comes to a game, you don't see those plays that you need to be able to, you know, move the boat, move the chains, and give your opportunity, your offense a chance. So, yeah, in practice, he would beat anybody out. But then when it comes to games, he's, you know, very underwhelming. And that's why, you know, they wind up, you know, Heinicke goes on a run here, and why they stuck with Heinicke, because they know that, hey, he's got the respect of the guys in the locker room. They've got confidence in him. Everybody's feeding off of him. He isn't perfect, but he gives us a chance, and that's more than what the other guy was doing.
Well, he's going to be the guy for this week anyway. So, one reason the Giants have struggled in the last month, the only team they've beaten in the last month is Houston, is because defenses are really reining in Saquon. And mm-hmm. he hasn't gone for over 53 yards in three of those four games, which they lost. They lost to Seattle, Detroit, and Dallas. Now, he did score in a couple of those games, but defenses are really starting to make Daniel Jones beat you or beat them, right. And they just don't have the outside weapons. I know they've got Richie James and they've got Slayton, but they really just don't scare you. So I would assume Washington does the same thing.
Yeah, I think that you're exactly right. The blueprint is there, and that's what you have to do. You know, fortunately for Washington, their defensive line is doing well, you know, against the run, and that's what you have to do. And, you know, hey, it was an encouraging start for the Giants. They've shown some growth, but you're going to have to see Daniel Jones really come through, and, you know, he's still kind of limited. And, you know, I'm not saying that Saquon's not going to have games where he does go off, but it does seem like teams are really making concerted effort to stop him. And Daniel Jones is okay, but he's not where he needs to be to carry a team.
Talking to Mike Jones, covers the NFL for The Athletic. Looking at the NFC East, obviously the Eagles have the best record in the NFC overall, but Dallas has looked impressive on Thanksgiving. Do you think they can catch them?
I'm not sure, because when you stack these teams up, both of them have very good defenses. Both of them have, you know, really good run games. Both of them have, you know, weapons at, you know, in the passing game. I think that the Eagles wide receivers are probably a little bit better. And I also think that Jalen Hurts is playing, you know, in more of a game-changing type of level than what Dak Prescott is. Dak Prescott's good, but I do think that Jalen Hurts is just at a different level right now. And I think that will wind up helping the Eagles remain ahead of Dallas. Now, you know, it's going to be a tough game when we see them against each other again. Obviously, the Eagles like to run the football, and Dallas kind of struggles against the run a little bit. They want to get after the quarterback, but that threat that Jalen Hurts poses, not only as a passer, but as a runner, and we've seen him at times really have to beat a team with his arms, and other times you see him do it with his legs. So I think that helps the Eagles, and look, they went out, they beefed up their defensive line after Washington gashed them, and so I think that they will remain just a step ahead.
Mike, there was so much hype heading into the season about, oh, we can't wait to watch all these AFC West games. The AFC West is just going to be a superpower. And you look at it, and the Chiefs are 9-2, and then the rest of it is just a mess. The Chargers are one game above 500. And the biggest disappointment by far is what's happened with Russell Wilson and the Broncos sitting at 3-8. You saw that frustration boiling over in their loss to the Panthers, where one of the defensive linemen was screaming at him on the sideline. Like, I mean, it's just... And they're tied to him now for, what, four more seasons after extending him. It's just a mess there in Denver.
Yeah, they really, really, you know, made a really bad decision. Getting him was one thing, okay? So you needed a quarterback, but turns out that wasn't a good decision. But the worst thing was giving him an extension before you'd seen anything or seen him in this offense with this head coach, who also looks like he is way in over his head. You know, I don't know if they were hoping, okay, we get Hackett and then we get Rodgers and that can kind of, that'll be okay. But it didn't play out. And Hackett, even though he wound up bringing in somebody to help him with those game management type of situations, this team is not in a good way here. When you lose to an interim head coach in the Panthers who have a carousel at quarterback and Russell Wilson looks as bad as he is, you almost wonder, okay, and not almost, but you wonder if Hackett's going to be gone after this year. Unfortunately for the Broncos, they're stuck with Wilson, but they've got to find somebody who is more creative and finds ways to mask his deficiencies and get more out of him, because Hackett doesn't have it. And what's really amazing to me is I like the guy. I spent about an hour and a half talking to him at the combine one night, and then interviewed him right before the season. I asked him about curveballs that were being thrown to him as a first-year head coach in training camp, and he said, you know, you get a lot more curveballs, but I'm hitting them all pretty good right now. And, man, well, a couple weeks later, you get to the regular season, and he is swinging and missing at almost everything.
Yeah, I mean, that back and forth between Purcell and Wilson on the sidelines is just telling. And it's telling that, you know, he just doesn't have chemistry with those players. And I heard Rich Gannon talk about this. He made a lot of good points. He said that, you know, he doesn't think Russell Wilson just forgot how to play quarterback. He just thinks there's so many outside distractions with him. You know, he's so into social media with his wife and everything, and they're going to all these different places and going to F1 races, and he wants to be on TV.
Yeah, but he's out there 4 hours before the game. He's doing all
this. Yeah, he just doesn't.
But that's theatrics.
You
know?
That's theatrics.
Yeah. You know? And you wonder, okay, what is he doing in the classroom? Because eventually your body's going to start failing you, and you don't have all those quick twitch muscles and everything. But the guys who are great, you know, Brady, Breeze, Manning, even though Manning couldn't throw the ball 15 yards downfield, he had the mind to be able to beat teams. And Russell Wilson either doesn't spend enough time studying or just doesn't have that exceptional gift. And the Seahawks, I, you know, had heard – this year when asking around that they had a feeling that maybe he was going to drop off physically. And so that's why they were willing to part with him. And it looks like they got it right, because physically he doesn't have it, and mentally he's not doing the things that it takes to compensate for, you know, the physical decline.
Right. Yeah, that was his point. He's just not mentally prepared each week. He didn't forget how to play quarterback. He's just not there mentally, and that's
doesn't have it.
Doesn't have it.
Right.
All right, so what are you hearing on Aaron Rodgers? Is Rodgers going to go this week, or is he going to be out for a couple weeks?
We don't know yet. I think the Wednesday is when they were going to try to see if he could go. He had said he didn't know if he was going to be able to practice Wednesday. We might not find out until Thursday, maybe Friday. I think the smart thing for them is, like, look, you don't have it. You can't throw very well with his thumb, and now you got the rib thing. Mm-hmm. We need to see what Jordan Love can do. So this is a perfect opportunity for you to sit down, let us kind of evaluate him, and then go from there, because they were optimistic that he was going to continue to play at a high level, but he's not. Physically, he's not there. Talk to a lot of people, they say mentally he seems like he's checked out, and that's, I think, why we see what we're seeing here. And so it's a tough call, but I was just writing about it today. You got to, you know, it's time for you to make that call and look at Love, because you've got to have your eye on the future now.
Hey, Mike, what do you think the preseason win totals were for the L.A. Rams coming off of their Super Bowl win?
I picked them to repeat.
Did you really?
Yeah, I picked them to repeat and beat the Chiefs. And, you know,
it's been a disaster.
I guess I got one of those two, right? It's been awful, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you couldn't have imagined that. You knew that, okay, that they, you know, didn't have draft picks to restock this thing, but you felt like, okay, you got your quarterback in place, you got Cooper Kupp, you got Aaron Donald, you're just going to continue to plug in people around them. But everything that could go wrong has gone wrong for them, and it's pretty startling to see.
Hey, Mike, what Kyle Shanahan did not want to happen is happening with his running game with Mitchell and now Christian McCaffrey being banged up. Now, McCaffrey may still be able to go this week, but their next four are Miami, Tampa, at Seattle, which, you know, is obviously huge for the division, and then Washington. So they've got physical defenses they're facing, and Mitchell's gone probably for the year. They're bringing in Jordan Mason, who was an undrafted free agent out of Georgia Tech, and he was playing a lot this past week. But they do not want that. They don't want to have to rely on Jimmy G to drop back 45 times, and it doesn't look good right now in the running game.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You felt like, okay, look, they finally got everybody. They've got Debo. Now they got Christian McCaffrey in the mix, and they've got, you know, depth at every single position. But you know that Kyle Shanahan, his offense is at best when you can run the ball. You ease pressure on Jimmy Garoppolo. But he's going to have to, this is going to test his creativity. He's going to have to find other ways to, you know, I think some of what we saw last year was using Debo. I'm very curious of how things are going to go against Miami, because Kyle normally does well against his former assistants, but Mike McDaniel has been with him, right-hand guy from the start, you know, Houston all the way on. So, and he is, you know, just even more of a brainiac in this offense than Sean McVay is. So strategically, it's going to be really interesting, really compelling chess match. But, you know, and then for the 49ers, you have a lead in that division. Hope you can keep it. But you're definitely right. They're going to be tested down the stretch here. I think they have a chance if they can kind of, you know, weather this and you know, find some new guys to step in, help out, you know, easing the load on McCaffrey. But it's definitely a tough stretch.
Mike, great catching up with you as always. We'll talk to you again soon, man.
All right, thanks. You guys have a good one. Happy holiday.
Thank you, buddy.
That's Mike Jones, covers the NFL for The Athletic. Don't forget, coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, Jonathan Allen, Commanders defensive tackle, will join us here on The Junks.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Coming up in just a couple minutes, we'll tell you why early risers like the Junks, we're just smarter. I'm just going to tell you about that in a few minutes.
All right. I just wanted to bring up something real quick, and I don't want to belabor it because Mike brought up something, and I was talking to the boys about
you?
It. Huh?
Did it irk you?
It just irks me general, okay?
Oh, no. Okay. I wonder what it's about.
Your seatbelt.
I know what it's about.
I can only imagine.
Here's what it is.
We've been talking about it since July.
I'm not
going
to mention a person's name. Yeah. But when people say that the Commanders play harder for Taylor Heinicke, it's maybe the dumbest thing I've ever heard. If you think that John Allen plays harder,
I don't believe that either.
Depending upon who's that quarterback, you're a dumb person. You're not only a dumb person, you're moronic, you're like sub 80 IQ. If you think Terry McLaurin fights harder for the football because Taylor Heinicke is throwing it to him, I'm telling you, you're not a bright person. It's narrative. It's a fake narrative. Mm-hmm. It's fake news. Do the guys love Taylor Heinicke? There is no question about it. But you know what it's like? It's like when
I don't think they hate Wentz.
They don't.
Yeah,
trust me, I know for a fact.
These guys
some of them think
other.
He should get another shot. I know that for a fact.
It's all about the. It's just all about how he's working in the system.
Yeah, he's doing fine. He's managing. This is not an anti-Heinicke thing. But it's like when the walk-on scores a bucket and all the starters go crazy. That's what it is. When Heinicke does something well, they're happy for him. He's the guy that was sleeping on his sister's couch, making a bonus every time they win.
He's Rudy.
He's Rudy.
He's Rocky.
But it's not.
Underdog story.
Yes, and he's a great underdog story. But it's not, oh my God, the guys play harder for Heinicke. It's obvious. That narrative has been spread now for 2 months.
I'm curious, though.
I'm sick of it.
I'm curious.
No
Cakes, were you irked?
I'm sick of it.
Cakes, were you irked by that?
Not one.
Chase, were you irked by it?
I can't help that you let fake news and fake narratives
A lot of the narrative was proven true in the games that he played.
No. You're letting a fake narrative breathe.
First of all, I never buy into that.
It's fake!
I never buy into it. I don't buy into bulletin board material like you do either. I don't buy into that. They all try hard. They're all trying to win.
This is what they're trying to do.
I'll focus on this. I do think that Terry prefers playing with him because he throws more YOLO balls to him. Now, that could come back to haunt him.
That may be true. But
if
Wentz throws a ball up to him, he's going to try and catch
it. So we can't, when someone says, by the way, my Twitter feed is littered with it, and I just have to take it and I have to shut it
off.
People are so dumb, and I want to chuck my computer off.
Okay, but I'd also like to say you throw out the fake narrative about his past. He's a different quarterback than his past, and you constantly bring up his past. You won't let it go. You bring up 2017 all the time.
Taylor Heinicke,
you bring up his career touchdown to interception.
It doesn't matter. Yes, last year he was 27-7. Taylor Heinicke will never do that in his lifetime. It's fine.
Here's the question.
That was last year. That was 2017.
I put this up on Instagram. If people haven't seen it,
change the station. Never listen again.
Jason.
Never watch again. Never talk to me again.
Somebody sent it to you. If you haven't seen it, Sports Junkies Radio on Instagram. The Brokeback Mountain. EB can't quit
it
Carson.
Is a funny visual.
He cannot quit him.
This is not about Carson.
It's not about Carson.
This is about the fake narrative.
It is about Carson.
That the team plays harder for Taylor. That is a fake narrative. They love him, yes. They do not play harder.
The team plays better with him.
I've never seen anybody so invested in such a mediocre quarterback.
I just want to have the right.
I'm going to block harder because Taylor's throwing it.
No one does that. No one does that.
I agree.
So I'm going to put my foot down when that fake narrative keeps coming up.
Maybe he misspoke.
Well, how many people are saying
replace
that?
9 million on my Twitter.
Replace harder.
Okay, well, this
is
better. Replace harder with better.
Maybe he would probably retract that if he thought about it.
Better
they play better with Taylor Heinicke.
They're playing better because they're healthier. They're blocking better. They have a totally different philosophy.
Are you convinced that if Wentz had played these seven games that they would have gone 6-1? Because I don't think they do.
I'm not convinced.
He might have won one or two more games. He's a little more nimble in the pocket.
Better.
There's no doubt. But on the whole,
they operate
over
better.
A lifetime, he can't hold a candle to them. And you'll win more games with him.
Do you think we're going to see Wentz in the next 3 weeks?
You're not going to see him until he... I'll give you the answer.
That's
you're not going to see him until he implodes. Because you can't... I wouldn't start him now. I start Taylor.
Yeah.
You ride that hot...
Because Taylor's been giving you C-minus, D-plus type games.
They're winning in spite of him!
I know. I get it. But because
they're winning,
you can't sit him.
Of course, they're doing the totally right thing. But all I'm saying is, when he has the inevitable, and it's going to happen... He's going to have one of those games that's so
awful.
He's
got a throbber for
Carson Wentz. It might be Sunday.
It could happen at any moment.
He's got a throbber for Carson Wentz.
No. Then the superior, talented quarterback will come in. And then I think we have, because I think this team is pretty good. They have potential. Yeah. Quarterback's limiting it.
If Wentz is in there and they're running the ball 46% of the time.
Yeah, run the same thing.
Then they may be winning the games.
I think no matter what.
So maybe the game plan changes.
But
let me just say this. This is what NFL players do. And I agree with you. They're playing for contracts.
Yes.
Of course they're not going to try. They're not going to give 75% of another quarterback.
I don't really like him too much. He's kind of selfish.
They're playing for contracts.
Yes. They're like, oh my God, there's a ball. I got to go catch it.
For the fans. Eric,
you might have to put me in the ADIQ list, but I know players loaf all the time. That's what a leader is. A leader can get guys to commit and to play harder and to give their all. Are you telling me that Bill Belichick doesn't demand more from his players that would put up with loafing? No, people respect him, so they play hard, and they know that's not going to be tolerated.
Tell me the player that's playing harder for Taylor.
I'm theoretically disagreeing with you. Okay. I'm telling you that great players or great leaders can get guys to buy in and give it their all. You tell me guys on the Texans are giving it their all right now? No, they're playing the season out.
I don't know the Texas situation. I'm not going to speak.
I just think that's a talent. That's a talent level thing.
I'd say that's probably a talent thing more than
that's
anything.
That's a talent level thing.
By and large, these guys are professionals, and they're going to try their hardest.
Turn on the NBA for 5 minutes, guys.
Say again?
Turn on the NBA for 5 minutes. You see, guys.
That's a different league. That's a totally different situation.
And a lot of those guys are G'd up.
A totally different situation.
There are a lot of guys who don't run routes hard.
Of course,
you can watch that in games all the time.
I don't think it changes based on the quarterback.
I don't.
I would change one word.
They will work just as hard for Gibby Gilbert.
No, they won't.
Yeah, they will.
Because
they're not winning with Gilby Gilbert or Carson Wentz. They're winning with one guy.
This is what we're gonna have to deal with.
Not for this year, Cakes. Grabby. They're gonna try and make plays.
Just realize when Carson
Robinson's gonna run as hard as he can, regardless of who hands him the ball.
When Carson Wentz becomes like Justin Fields' backup for the next couple of years, and then he comes in and plays one game.
That's
in like
one where you're
2026.
Wrong.
I don't think he will care once he's no longer wearing.
Yeah, I will care, but
uniform.
I will say this: maybe. Carson will start for someone next year. You guys are all
in
wrong
week
about
one.
That too. I believe so.
I don't think he'll start in week one.
I believe so.
I'll take that
he's
bet.
Better than
I'll be
the bottom.
I'll be.
Five or
I'd
six.
Be willing to bet at least $50.
I'll bet you 20.
He will not bet
I'll
in
bet
week
20.
One. Okay, 20. Put it in the book.
Bucks.
Get the book. Sorry, he doesn't start in week one.
This is the start for someone.
This Definitely, just makes.
They'll be bad. It'll be like a Texans
like the
or something.
Saints.
It'll be somebody bad. But Carson Wentz is a starter.
This makes me want Carson Wentz to come back. These
Do you think they'd be 6-1?
No, I think they would have lost
last seven.
I think he's won a couple of games because of his ability. But I think over an extended period of time.
But isn't that an
Carson's
indictment
better.
On Carson Wentz?
Not really. The reason why
isn't that an indictment on the current Carson Wentz, not the,
current, the
lifetime
the
Carson Wentz?
The 2022 version of Carson Wentz
was terrible. He had a 33 QBR.
Why?
Because he had terrible pocket presence. I understand.
No.
I know the offensive line was a shambles. He could have handled it better
with more time. He didn't have time. Watch it.
Some of it has to do with him.
Backfield. They had nobody in the backfield.
He also would roll out of the pocket instead of throwing it away and keep holding it,
you know
holding it, holding it.
Taylor, make bad decisions.
Taylor makes some of the dumbest plays I've ever seen that. In the history of football.
But Wentz was but holding the ball.
He was, but he also didn't have enough time.
Okay, offensive line's playing better now. I agree.
You're using two tight ends to block.
I agree.
They have Brian Robinson. But they're running the ball 50 times a game.
Dude, you're off your rocker. You've lost it.
I have not.
You're blinded by Carson Wentz.
I don't even think Carson's that good.
He's not!
He's better than four, though. He's better than the guy that's currently in there.
Are we living in a sim?
He hasn't. If he was better, then why are you conceding the fact that he wouldn't have won as many games? You're saying he's better, but he would have actually lost more games than Taylor Heinicke.
Because it actually took them a few games to figure it out.
He may be better, but it's, in my opinion, slightly better.
Everyone's opinion has changed based on five or six games. Yeah. But he was new to the system. He had no offensive line. They asked him to be Peyton Manning.
You asked him
to do what they're asking Taylor to do.
They didn't ask him to be Peyton Manning.
He okay. will do it better.
They didn't ask him to be Peyton Manning.
He's better handing off the ball.
Yes.
He's better hander offer.
He'll hit the open receivers at a higher rate. I'm telling you.
Their completion percentage is almost identical.
Let's just wait.
He can't let it go.
Can we just wait and see if it happens?
Wait, it's going to happen.
I think so, too.
Evie said, I need to bring up something real quick.
Is Carson Wentz going to be active this week as the backup?
I don't know. He should be.
What do you think? He should. Yes. I would say yes.
The last thing you want to do is play the fifth-round rookie.
Well, isn't that going to be interesting?
If you're still holding out for Sam Howell, I agree with what you say about the people who are saying that one person's harder for the other quarterback. Yeah. Like if you're stumping for Sam Howell in week 13, you are a legitimate crazy
person.
You're
just a crazy person.
Like it's either going to be Heineke
complete
or Wentz.
Unknown.
Like
no,
you're in
no.
a playoff hunt.
You're not going to see how.
The keys to a guy who hasn't played
of course not.
In a real game
of course
at
not.
This point.
Anybody with a brain knows that.
Yes.
All right, Drab hung up on everyone but D. Woods.
No, we have phone issues, Rick.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go to D. D. Woods.
I'm giving full effort in here.
Okay.
Hey, what's up, D. Woods?
You should.
He's playing harder for you.
What's up, fellas?
D, how many stadiums have you been to this year? Every week, you're going somewhere. Did you get like some sort of big bonus?
Yeah,
like
you going to MetLife?
How's this happening?
What's going on?
I wish. I need to talk to my boss about that. It's so funny. Every Monday when I go back into work, literally my boss goes the same thing. Goes, what stadium did you go to this week? I've been to 19 stadiums so far.
Wow,
so,
that's quite a tour.
Yeah. So,
good Lord.
Yeah, I now can count them based on the stadiums I haven't been to. That's how many stadiums I've hit so far in my lifetime. But hey, Bickle.
Mm.
Hey, we don't agree on much, but I can't agree with you more than this fan base is full of idiots. The amount of people that think Taylor Heinicke is better than Carson Wentz, or that the NFL players play harder for Heinicke than Wentz, is astonishing. I'm ready to renounce my fandom because I don't want to be lumped in with such a group of idiots that spew this. I'm arguing with people on the Junk's Facebook page all night long because they're telling me how great Taylor Heinicke is.
Doing that.
It's a waste of. He had 138 yards passing. He is not good.
I'm not going to disagree with you, D. My only question is the same one that I posed to Eric. If Carson Wentz had been the starting quarterback for the seven games, and he was actually the starting quarterback for one of those, what would their record be?
I think they still would go 6-1.
Okay.
If Carson Wentz had the line, even if he's 100% correct, if they had the same line and the same offensive scheme as they had now, he would excel in this offense. And people don't understand. He is markedly better than Taylor Heinicke. I'm getting pissed off.
The line, he's better in skills. The line is better, but it's not like here's the problem. It's not like it's a clean pocket for Taylor Heinicke all the time. He maneuvers his way in the pocket a little better than Carson Wentz.
He's successful in the NFL. He knows how to navigate the pocket.
You keep going back to career. He's different.
JP, who has the better skill set?
Carson Wentz, undeniably.
Okay, so that makes him a better quarterback.
Except for a couple of skill sets, which maybe you're not including. I think that Taylor has better pocket presence. I think that Taylor is a better decision maker.
Hey, D. Woods.
I think Taylor.
Hold on, JP. You said you think Taylor Heinicke is a better decision maker. He throws, he throws balls high. He throws it anywhere.
Throwing it high is not a decision.
with his eyes closed. He threw a pass, a quarterback.
He's about to make
you don't want to die.
It was completed.
You don't want to die.
No, no. I think he's a better decision maker.
Hey, D. There's also another aspect of the game. It's not just physical. It's the mental aspect, and it's also a confidence level. And when Carson was in there, he looked like a deer in headlights. Now, I'm not going to say that there weren't other factors, but there is a confidence level that maybe Taylor, even though he can't match the physics, he can match the emotions.
I agree with that also. There's also a learning curve that he was going through. Taylor's been in this offense for 5 years, so he doesn't have to worry about that element. You guys are sleeping on that.
Why are we spending so much time talking about Carson Wentz? I don't get it.
All I'm doing
because he lets Twitter affect him.
No.
They've won 6 out of 7 games. They could be in the playoffs.
What's holding them back? What's holding this team
back? The offense.
Thank you. And I think the offense has...
The offense scored less points with Carson, and he was part of the reason.
Okay, but the
I understand all the other factors. He was a big part. They didn't convert any third downs with that guy.
You're missing it.
Do you remember the Bears game?
Watch
the Bears game.
I remember it.
They've had duds with Heinicke, too.
The Bears game, EB.
Hey.
Which they won.
I just want to see it again. I do.
I do. I don't.
I think Heinicke's personally the better fit. Is Heinicke going to win you playoff games? Probably not. I would guess no. Could he get you the playoffs? Possibly. But I do want to see Wentz in there, especially against some good teams, to see if guys like Eric are right.
We will hit the Skins coming up at 8. And don't forget, Jonathan Allen from the Commanders will join us coming up at 9 a.m. We can ask him if he's playing harder for Taylor Heinicke than he did for Carson Wentz.
Yeah, holidays, I'm asking that.
Holidays are quickly approaching. You need to be prepared to bring happiness to your favorite golfers in your life. Golfdom has everything you need to gift the game with their huge selection of clubs, apparel, shoes, bags, and other great golf gift ideas. And with the weather changing, be sure to check out new apparel selections that have arrived from Peter Millar, Polo, RLX, Grayson, Johnny O, Lululemon, and more. Visit Golfdom in Tysons and shop early for the best selection. Golfdom, live the game.
We will hit the Skins at 8, but right now it's time for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. Visit them in Annapolis, Rockville, or Herndon for a huge selection of outdoor furniture, fire pits, hot tubs, and swim spas.
So pretty bad Monday night football game yesterday. You had the Colts, who have gone back to Matt Ryan as their starting quarterback, and they faced a Steelers team, which is going to go under 500 for the first time in Mike Tomlin's coaching career. Mm-hmm. And the Steelers end up winning the game by a touchdown. A little noise about the decision-making down the stretch for Jeff Saturday and the Colts, because they were driving to try and tie the game at the end of the game. And ultimately, they get stopped. And they have 2 timeouts left, and it looked like they were rushing. Matt Ryan had a scramble for, I believe, 17 yards, put them in a 3rd and 3. And then they got to the line, handed it to Taylor, who got stuffed. And then they did use a timeout. And then on 4th down, it was an incomplete pass. And Jeff Saturday was questioned about it afterwards. I think a lot of coaches in the league killed all the time for clock management. I don't know. Like, he said that they still had plenty of time. He was comfortable with it, and they're probably saving 1 timeout. Actually, they didn't even need to save a timeout for a field goal because they needed a touchdown.
Correct.
But, you know, if you still, let's say you convert that pass on 4th and 3, then you use the timeout. Now you got one left. You can still pass the ball in the middle of the field.
There was 30 seconds left at 4th and 3.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, but they were at the 26. It's not like they were in the red zone.
But two bad teams.
Yeah, two teams going nowhere super fast. Like, they're going to both pick in the middle towards the top of the draft. Mm-hmm. Neither of these teams have playoff aspirations. They're just kind of playing out the string at this point.
Playing for contracts.
Pretty much.
So I wouldn't expect Saturday to be there next year. I'm just kind of thinking about the teams that may be looking for coaches. I think Indy's one. Arizona could be one. Carolina obviously is one. Who knows about Detroit? Is Hackett going to survive after 1 year? It's just a horrific year in Denver.
The early returns are not good in Denver.
So there's five right there that are possibilities.
A couple of those are possibilities for Carson to
start.
You know what?
I'd throw the Saints in that mix too because they look pretty gross.
You had to bring up Carson Wentz.
Maybe. How long has Allen been? Just a couple years.
Bring up one point. I don't think so. Since TB brought up Carson Wentz again, I just went and looked at the stats. His last game as a starter, where the offense wasn't dramatically different than Heinicke the next week, he gave you 99 yards passing with a QBR of 17. And the team was 2-for-11 on third downs. I know sometimes they're handing the ball off. The next week, with basically the same offense, they had 150 more yards. Heinicke threw for 201 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick, and they were 7-for-16 on third downs. Not a dramatically different offensive line there. Heinicke operated the offense better against, and it wasn't like the Bears have a scary defense. They've given up over 30 points 4 times this year. They put up 12 points. Would have been less, except for the muffed punt at the end, which was a gift to the Commanders.
Over a body of work, I think the more talented guy will perform better.
That's generally the case in all sports.
Exactly.
But this year, Carson Wentz was bad, and I think
given this circumstance,
to start,
that's
week
better.
6, he gave you 99 yards against the Bears, who suck.
Okay. It was a bad game, for sure. I didn't say he played great when he was given the opportunity, but I think under this circumstance, he'll play better.
Some controversy in Baltimore. We mentioned it a little bit yesterday with Lamar Jackson, who tweeted the whole E to D.
Regrettable he then, decision by Lamar.
He then deleted the tweet, I guess, 3 hours later. His head coach talked about it yesterday and basically said he just wishes his guys, especially after a loss, stayed off social media. Because that's when you're hot and you're just going to get trashed, right?
Sure.
You're going to get trolled after a loss.
Don't go on Twitter and search your name or search your team's name coming off a loss. It's always a bad formula.
Valdez, you can chime in on this. I find this interesting. Like, I think the perception may be that Lamar's not having a great year, but I saw his PFF grade, and it was either like 1 or 2 this week.
This week?
I think he had like 3 or 4 potential touchdowns dropped. I know Andrews dropped one.
Well,
in the
there
end
were
zone.
There were 7 total drops last week.
Okay,
but he did have a PFF grade of over 90 against the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, I think the perception. Look, I went to a game.
Yeah,
I mean,
he didn't play poorly.
Yeah,
offensively they were fine.
I went to a game a couple weeks ago, and they only put up 13 points against Carolina. You'd think, well, he didn't play well. He doesn't have great playmakers. I mean.
Look, if you think
Jamarcus Robinson in that game.
If you think the problem against Jacksonville is Lamar, then we're not watching the same.
No.
Right.
Yeah. Their problem this year has been fourth quarter defense.
If you want to put the loss on his shoulders, then you have a Lamar agenda. That's what I would say. Actually, I've come to the point that I kind of want to see the Ravens trade Lamar. Because I feel like we need a cleansing of this fan base. Because half of them are just Lamar stans and aren't really rooting for the purple and black.
Oh, so they're just rooting for
Lamar. Yeah, they're
Lamar
just rooting for Lamar.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Like rooting for LeBron.
Lamar could play a D-plus game and they're going to beat Denver this weekend.
They should.
Might have thought that they could do that against Jacksonville. And they didn't and couldn't.
Well, yeah. Trevor Lawrence actually looked like a guy who was the number one pick and is supposed to be a stud in that game. We've seen him up and down.
Sure.
That was a Trevor Lawrence special, like, and a great touchdown catch by Marvin Jones. And then he threw the two-point conversion to Zay Jones.
Nobody is realizing just how important Kyle Hamilton is to the defense.
That's right.
And also,
how long has he been out?
This was the first week.
We should mention Lamar. Then they had 15 seconds or whatever when they got the ball back.
15. They botched a squib kick. They put him in position.
Right.
So 67.
Yeah, that's what I want to say is that Lamar actually put him in position. Now it's a 67 yarder, but you got Justin Tucker.
Maybe.
And it was
maybe in a dome, but
it was online.
Oh, maybe in a dome, but I did not expect him to make that.
Yeah, outside, that's a tough kick to make.
Anyway, Lamar and some heat, and I just think, you know, this year, based on statistics, everybody's talking about Jalen Hurts and, you know, Tua.
I know one thing.
But Lamar's actually playing well.
I know one thing. Lamar is not homophobic or is not anti-gay.
Right. On that thing.
Well, was the whole ESPN thing. Is that is that he used anti-gay terminology.
I didn't think that
he's homophobic.
No. Yeah. I didn't read it as homophobic, but I did read it as
immature. That's just what guys who are pissed off say.
I thought he's
joning. I read it as joning.
It's actually A+.
I read it as F-U. It's just basically saying F-U.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Of course.
Eric's going to use that when you say they play harder for Taylor.
That's going to be his answer.
Will you reply to everybody?
Just change harder in all the messages, TB, to better.
I do appreciate all of Ravens flock out there going and photoshopping Jameson Hensley's pictures.
I don't even know what you're talking
about. He's the reporter.
He's the reporter that said he's anti-gay.
Why do I know that name?
He's the ESPN reporter.
Because it sounds like Sherman Hensley or whatever.
No, I've heard of him before. So he works for ESPN? Okay, yeah. That's what it is.
All right, coming up in a little over an hour, Jonathan Allen, Commanders defensive tackle, will join us. And we will hit the skins. Next, we'll talk about some interesting comments from head coach Ron Rivera about can this Commanders team up their offensive output? We'll get into that next when we hit the skins on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.